The podcast Members of the Chamber is presented by Piper Foods and fueled by McCafe. If you're listening in your car, why not stop by one of Piper Foods' five McDonald's locations in Oakville or look them up on any McDelivery service. We thank Piper Foods for their generous support of our chamber and for everything they do in the community. Now let's get started. Welcome, Oakville Chamber, to Season 2 of our podcast, Members of the Chamber. Oakville Chamber members, one story at a time. Members of the Chamber is a podcast. For each episode, we sit down with one member of our chamber community and have a conversation. A conversation about their individual entrepreneur or professional journey, their job, and how they ended up where they are today. My name is Drew Redden. I'm the President and CEO of the Oakville Chamber of Commerce. We're broadcasting from the Staples Studio co-working facility located at 320 North Service Road West in Oakville, Ontario, and this is Members of the Chamber. This episode of Members of the Chamber is brought to you by Staples Studio Oakville. We're currently recording our podcast, Members of the Chamber, in the podcast booth at Staples Studio Oakville on 320 North Service Road West, where they have everything you need to help your business. They're currently offering a safe and healthy place to work, with desks, offices, and drop-in memberships. More than a co-working space, Staples is a community to help you work, learn, and grow. For more information on pricing, please visit studio.staples.ca. or contact the community manager at studio.oakville@staples.ca for a tour. Kristen, I am so pleased that you agree with me.
Sorry, what are you referring to, Drew?
Well, you agree that even in the winter, it's never too cold for McFlurry.
Yes, it may be cold outside, but I will never say no to McFlurry. I have the M&M one. What do you have over there?
You know, I'm a score bar type guy, and when I really want to treat myself, I'll even add a little caramel sauce mixed in.
Sounds delicious.
It is, but let's put these McFlurries away and get the episode started.
Sounds good. We have another really interesting guest on the show today. Someone many of our listeners may remember for her tenure as chair of the Oakville Chamber of Commerce.
Let's get it started. Joining us today on Members of the Chamber is Wendy Rinella. Wendy is the Chief Executive Officer of the Oakville Community Foundation. The foundation is Oakville's largest charitable asset of over $100 million supporting local charities and community-wide programs through turnkey foundation infrastructure for business and family philanthropists. Wendy's 25-plus year career has spanned the public, private, and not-for-profit sectors. Prior to joining the foundation, she served as the Vice President Corporate Affairs at First Canadian Title, launching new corporate divisions and organizations including two industry associations and a charitable foundation from concept to operation. Her previous work experience also includes leading an industry association, leading teams in government relations consulting firms, and various positions for a decade at Queen's Park, eventually leaving as Director of Policy. Wendy's career is also marked by her passion for community building by serving on the boards of 15 organizations, including as Chair of the Oakville Chamber of Commerce and appointments to the Crown Corporations, including the Tarion Warranty Corporation, the Provincial Home Warranty Insurer. Wendy, welcome to the podcast. It is great to connect.
Thank you, Drew. It's a pleasure to be here and always a pleasure to speak with the Oakville Chamber of Commerce.
So reading your bio, I talked about your time in the public sector, and that was early in your career at Queen's Park. You know, I too spent a few years at the Ontario Legislature and often reflect that my time working as a political staffer was some of the best education I could have given myself. Can you share a bit more about your experience at Queen's Park and the influence that that experience had on the rest of your career?
Sure. So unlike you, I wasn't a political staffer. I was actually a civil servant. And I was there for a decade, and I started as an intern policy analyst, and a decade later, I left as a director of policy. And the wonderful thing about the civil service is that you have the opportunity to learn about so many different factions of how government, business, and every aspect of our society work. Because from healthcare to income assistance to you name it. And practice of policy is more of a profession than the content or subject matter. So how you do policy in one area is very similar to how you approach policy in another area. And that really gave me an exposure to understanding how to do analysis, everything from interjurisdictional comparison to financial analysis to impact analysis, and being able to appreciate how you transfer skills from area to area. And the other wonderful thing about working for the Ontario Public Service is you have 80,000 colleagues at your disposal who you can phone up and ask a question to, and normally they respond. So that was the benefit of, from my perspective, of working at Queen's Park in terms of what I gained from that.
Yeah, there's certainly some incredibly bright minds working in our Ontario Public Service.
I agree.
So public, private, not-for-profit sectors, you have experience in all three. What is the notable difference for you based on your experience?
Well, as I said, within the public sector, you can phone anyone. They have everyone from lawyers and accountants and auditors and various advisors. And you don't get charged for every time you ask a question. As soon as you move into the private sector, unless you hire those people internally, particularly in a large business, you're paying for those services. So it certainly takes some adjustment, getting used to understanding what skills and resources you have at your disposal in each of those sectors. And so for my transition out of the government was really a learning curve right into the private sector of, you know, what are the resources I have available to me in order to achieve the goals? And what can the other members of my team bring to that, support that goal? And then similarly, that is another issue when you move into the charitable and not-for-profit sector is those resources even get more and more limited. But at that point in time, you're really hoping that you get some volunteer resources to rely on who can help support you.
Yeah, I was just going to, as you were talking there, I was thinking, and then when you're in the not-for-profit sector, the resources at your disposal, you know, you have to get more creative and, be very efficient in how you use those. Would you say that was the biggest learning curve for you when you transitioned from the private sector to not-for-profit?
I've been on the board of so many not-for-profits that I was aware of the resources that they had. And very early in my career, I was on boards of basically not-for-profits and charities that were running deficits that weren't financially healthy. And I did it for a decade. And then I promised myself, I'm never going to get myself onto another board of an organization that doesn't have a purpose and a value proposition that's successful with donors or, you know, the government or whoever is funding it. So if you become a board member of an organization that, particularly a charity that is running debts and deficit and financial health, it's an incredible strain on you as a volunteer. And so when I went into the role and applied to be the CEO of the Oakville Community Foundation, I did it with eyes wide open, understanding what the financial health of this organization was. So that's the other thing, you know, and that applies obviously to the private sector in particular, to join a healthy company with a prospective future. But it also, it also applies as well to the public sector that you want to go into, I would argue, an area of policy or operations that is successful and has a long-term mandate as opposed to something that you have to shut down and that's temporary. So that's also something that I've taken with me throughout my career is, you know, just to understand the prospects of that organization.
Well, that's leads in very nicely to my next question. I was just going to highlight your long history of giving back to the community that you're involved in, including your term as chair of the Oakville Chamber of Commerce. The Community Foundation, you now report to a board of directors. And so just how is that relationship in, you know, how important is it to have a good relationship with your chair? And has your experience leading so many boards as a chair really prepared you for this structure?
Well, I would also point out the fact that I worked for my dad. It was my first job. You know, it was a family small business. And every night, you know, we would go home after work. My sister worked there and my mother. And, of course, eventually my brother. He's a lot younger than me. And, you know, when you realize you're going to have a long-term relationship with someone you work with, you better make sure that it's a good one. So I think that's what really prepared me because, you know, people like to think that their disagreements at work, they'll never come back. I want to say bite them in the ass. Am I allowed to say that on the podcast?
It's a PG-13 podcast that's going to fly okay. here. No worries.
Well, you know, there's a perception that, you know, if you have a falling out with someone at work, you'll never see them again. Or you never have to deal with them if you leave that job. But if you're in a community and you're engaged in community activities and you, you know, the likelihood that you're eventually going to run across that person again is pretty high, particularly in a small community like Oakville. So you have to make sure, you know, that your relations are great. And, you know, interestingly enough, when I got to the foundation, the person who was one of the incoming chairs was a former chair of the board of the chamber who I worked with, Jerry Pop. And then, of course, now I have Brian Hanna, who is the wife of a former chamber chair as well, Julia Hanna. So it's a very small community here, right? So, you know, it's always been my experience that you want to maintain, you know, good working relationships with everyone throughout the community. And because I've worked within the community from the private sector side, a lot of the people that join the boards are from the private sector. They're the ones who are the financial advisors and lawyers and accountants to the charitable sector. And guess what? They're all chamber members. So that's the other aspect of this community is that I pretty much see the same people at all the big volunteer events and charity events. Like, let's just talk about France Fournier, for instance. You know, I see her at many different charitable giving events, and then I also see her at chamber events. So, you know, we're seeing the same active populations of people who are really engaged in community builders.
Yeah, so let's talk about our community here. We think Oakville is one of the best places to live, work, and visit in the country, but with your role at the Community Foundation, you must be very connected into everything that's going on at the town, not just what people see from the outside. So can you talk to us about some of the challenges our community faces that may not be obvious to the average citizen? And what role can the Community Foundation play in assisting to address these challenges?
Well, thanks for that question, because we spend a lot of our time doing research about our community. And we do it as a basis of understanding where the greatest needs are and how we can address those needs. So I'll give a couple of examples. And the one I usually use is around household income. So Oakville has the postal code with the highest median household income and the lowest median household income in Halton region. And the highest median household income from the 2016 census is in postal code L6J, also known as Southeast Oakville. The lowest is just under 65,000, and it dropped since the previous census, and that is L6K, which is around Kerr Street. I always think of K for Kerr Street when I share that postal code. And so that's usually really shocking to people because, you know, if you look at the townwide average of median household income, there is, you know, we do have very wealthy people here making great incomes, and there's a bit of wealth washing in our community. So that is something that happens as a result of people with really high incomes moderating or reducing what a really a much significantly lower income community that we have. So then we also have the factor that we have a very high share of our youth and child population that goes to private schools. Our estimation is more than 1 in 10, probably closer to 1 in 8. And what that means is that there are more young people living in poverty going to our public schools than in other communities. So if the wealthy youth are off to our private schools, it means that there's greater need, and both the Houghton Learning Foundation and the Houghton Catholic Children's Education Fund, which are the public and private learning foundations articulated to the school board, will tell you the greatest number of requests come from Oakville schools to Houghton region. So that's a reality that we live with, and again, that not too many of us are aware of.
You know, and those two organizations you mentioned do amazing work in our community as well.
Yeah, I know that you've worked with Houghton Learning Foundation in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Leslie, it's amazing the work they do. And, you know, Mark with the Catholic board as well. You know, really, really impressive stuff they do there, and really important work for our community too. Now, Wendy, I didn't see this in your bio, but is it fair to add a published author? And you know, the reason I said that is I've read a very interesting piece you published on the We Charity scandal and it what it meant for others in the charity sector. But I'm interested, how did this news cycle, you know, impact your organization or more generally your industry as a whole?
So in terms of the Community Foundation, I would say, or the Community Foundation movement, we're over 100 years old. The oldest community foundation in Canada started in 1921 in Winnipeg. And so I think we have a lot of credibility in the community, where we have, you know, a very public board of leadership of community leaders. Most community foundations do. I would hope and that we have a lot of trust. I mean, people have trusted us with over $100 million to manage, and you know, we're striving to achieve that trust every day. So, I would suggest that for those organizations that you know, are relatively newer, it could be a struggle. And for those who are on the social enterprise side, I think there's been a you know, a lot of misunderstanding about social enterprise, and we've done a lot of work in that area. And there's some long-term social enterprises in our community, like Habitat for Humanity's Restore or Salvation Army Thrift Shops. They've been around for a long time. Even Best Pack, which I know is a chamber member, that's run by Community Living. Mm-hmm. You know, those are wonderful organizations providing a great social enterprise to support their charities and their clients. So those are the types of things I think that We Charity has brought to light and kind of created some confusion. And I'm not a published author. I wrote a blog, and then Foundation Magazine and a few others decided they wanted to print it. So that's all I'm going to say on that topic.
Yeah, it was very well written, and I encourage all our listeners to go check it out. Wendy, what's...
Well, thank you for that. My mother will listen to this, and she'll be happy to hear that.
good. So, Wendy, what's on your plate right now? What new projects are you working on at this time with the Community Foundation?
Well, the big project that we have underway right now is something called Give Oakville. And for those of you who are familiar, one of my main focuses for the last 5 years at the Community Foundation has been digitization, to move the foundation from a paper-based organization to a technology and digital organization. And one of the cool things that we have now is, of course, a crowdfunding platform for a charitable sector. So Give Oakville is in market right now, and it's raised over $150,000, and we've got another $250,000 in match funds. So that's exciting. And the other big project that we'll launch again in the new year is our Community Education Awards Hub, which is a free online application-based scholarship and bursary hub for all of our post-secondary bound local residents, as well as service organizations who offer scholarships. So those are some of the big initiatives that we have underway at the moment.
And if people want to learn more about them, where can they go to find that information?
Absolutely. They have to go to www.theocf.org.
Perfect. So, Wendy, before we let you go, we do have one final question, and this is the question we end all our interviews with, and that is, what is the best piece of advice you have received in your career?
Well, it would have been my dad, and he said, listen to everybody's pieces of advice.
I like that. So,
yeah, and so, you know, I try and do that. Sometimes when you're younger, it's easy to be dismissive, but there might be a moment in time when that piece of advice is right for you.
Well, that's perfect. And that is a great note to end on. So thank you so much, Wendy.
My pleasure.
And to our members and listeners, thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to join us. If you know someone that would make an interesting guest on Members of the Chamber, please send us a note to info@oakvillechamber.com. We would love to hear from you. Make sure you stay up to date on what's going on at the Chamber by following along on social media. We're on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Thank you to our producer and Chamber Communications Manager, Kristen Curry. And last but certainly not least, thank you to Staples Studio Oakville for supporting this episode of our podcast. Talk to you soon, Oakville Chamber. Have a safe and productive day.